From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at your local and statewide news. Alaskans from Anchorage to Nome say they're choosing between paying bills or buying food. Some are skipping meals so their children have enough to eat. The state says it has a backlog of thousands that are waiting for food stamps, and it's not expected to improve anytime soon. The temperature in Soldotna has been dipping below zero at night, but Jo Lundsted has had to skip paying her electricity bill to feed her family.
Well, I applied for benefits back in October 27th of 2022, and as of today's date, I still have not heard anything from them.
Lundsted is one of thousands of Alaskans caught in a backlog of unprocessed food stamp applications. The state broke its silence about the delay after multiple requests for comment and initial reporting. Health Department Commissioner Heidi Hedberg says the problem goes back to late summer.
We hear their frustration. We want them to have their benefits. We're working with the tools we have.
The state is hiring more people to process paperwork, but it will likely be months before hungry households have relief. Cabrina Field in Anchorage got so hungry for answers that she called her state senator, Mia Costello. She said only then did she get a call back from the Department of Public Assistance.
They were telling me that it will take 90 to 120 days before they even process my research. And they said that was the best they could do.
She and her three children haven't gotten their food stamps since October. She's been relying on friends, family, and food banks, and says this Christmas will be a small one. Division of Public Assistance Director Shonda O'Brien says they're doing what they can.
We don't want to see anyone go without food. We definitely feel the pressure and have been working. Everyone has been working to find solutions.
She says there's a delay because her staff got a huge volume of paperwork all at once. The state usually recertifies families who receive food stamp benefits every 6 months, but that wasn't required for the last 2 years during the pandemic. When the state's public health emergency was lifted in July, Alaskans had to refile their paperwork, and O'Brien's division was swamped.
We hadn't been doing this for the last couple of years. So, you know, there was a lot of refresher training for staff who'd been around for a while, as well as training for staff who had been hired during the pandemic.
O'Brien saw they were falling behind and requested more staff. The state is in the process of onboarding 33 new hires, and O'Brien has requested dozens more. She said 30 positions are currently vacant. The division is devoting more time to processing applications, and staff members who usually do other tasks have been put on the job. But they're still doing paperwork from as far back as September. O'Brien estimated the backlog at 8,000.
Probably not going to see significant changes until maybe, you know, a couple months from now.
Health department officials say lingering effects from the cyber attack last year compounded the problem. When the state locked down its servers to protect information, it meant the department had to rely on more physical paperwork. O'Brien recommended that people in immediate need call 211, the number for the United Way, a nonprofit that connects Alaskans with services. There's also another resource.
We answer the phone.
Kate Burkhart is the Alaska State Ombudsman. She investigates complaints about the administrative actions of the state government.
That's a bunch of blah, blah, blah. What that means is our office performs an independent review of complaints about state agency programs.
Her office is looking into the complaints about the Division of Public Assistance.
So this year to date, we have received over 180 complaints related to delays, lack of communication, lack of adequate information related to public assistance benefits.
She says the calls have a deja vu quality. That's because her office investigated the Division of Public Assistance in 2018 for very similar reasons and found that increasing staff would go a long way to solve the problem. The state followed that advice and complaints dropped significantly until this year.
And so in 2021, we only received 83 complaints. And here we are, not quite done with 2022, and it looks like we're probably going to see three times that.
The Division of Public Assistance is legally required to process paperwork in a timely manner. The Ombudsman's office will work with them to make sure they can fulfill those obligations. The Ombudsman can also connect Alaskans to state resources.
If you have a problem, I don't really care what your problem is. If you have a problem and you have no idea what to do, you can call us.
Burkhardt said she can't fix the slowdown, but she might be able to help people who are desperate in the meantime. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple. Lawyers gave closing arguments yesterday in a case aimed at disqualifying Representative David Eastman from office due to his membership in the Oath Keepers. That's the far-right group whose leaders have been convicted of seditious conspiracy for their roles in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. The lawsuit is based on a disloyalty clause in the Alaska Constitution. But the week-long trial veered into culture war territory and the ideology of the MAGA movement. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
The plaintiff's attorney, Gorian Dedukian, argued that Eastman wasn't just a member of an insurrectionist group, but supported the cause himself. Eastman was in Washington, D.C. to attend then-President Trump's Stop the Steal rally preceding the attack on the Capitol. Dedukian said he heeded Trump's call to march from the White House to the Capitol. Eastman didn't enter the building, but Dedukian said Eastman could see the violence from where he stood.
And yet, Representative Eastman stayed there. He added his presence to the crowd. He took pictures near the Capitol that were then posted to social media. And he didn't leave the Capitol grounds or Capitol area until the curfew was issued, until everybody was ordered to leave.
Dedukian pointed out that Eastman has never called out the Oath Keepers for their violence, but has condemned Antifa.
I think based on his actions and inactions, we can show that there was a specific intent to be part of the insurrection on January 6th.
Eastman admits he's a lifetime member of the Oath Keepers, so Superior Court Judge Jack McKenna has one key question to decide. Have the Oath Keepers advocated or taken concrete action to overthrow the U.S. government by force? The Alaska Constitution bars members from such groups from holding office. One of Eastman's former supporters brought the lawsuit to see if it can be enforced against Eastman. Gorian delved into the conduct and belief system of the Oath Keepers, which his expert witness, a scholar of domestic terrorism, described as an anti-government militia. Eastman's attorney, Joe Miller, says the witness got the Oath Keepers all wrong.
There's an individual who called my client anti-Semitic, racist, and called the Oath Keepers a terrorist group. Now, these are extreme statements, unsupported by the facts.
Miller aimed to portray Oath Keepers as defenders of the Constitution, standing up to Antifa, communism, and other perceived threats from the left. He called Oath Keeper founder Stuart Rhodes as a witness, in part to testify about the humanitarian work the group did, helping communities hit by hurricanes. Rhodes testified over the phone from jail. He said Oath Keepers provided security on January 6th, and whatever statements he made about the need for bloody revolution and taking up arms were misinterpreted.
I think the jury punished me for my speech.
Miller also called attorney John Eastman to testify. John Eastman, no known relation of legislator David Eastman, helped Trump pursue the unfounded claim that his 2020 election loss was due to fraud, which no court has upheld. John Eastman read Rhodes' incendiary speeches and calls to action out loud and proclaimed them protected by the First Amendment.
Even in the closing line, which I think was focused on earlier with Mr. Rhodes, if you don't go, guys, we're going to be in a bloody, bloody civil war and a bloody, you can call it an insurrection, you can call it a guerrilla fight. Even if you interpret that as an incitement to engage in such violence, to engage in an insurrection or guerrilla fight, it's clearly speaking in the abstract.
The U.S. House January 6th committee recommended this week that attorney John Eastman be charged with crimes for his work to prevent the certification of the election on January 6th and keep Trump in power. Dedukian, the plaintiff's attorney, told the judge he shouldn't believe the defense witnesses who tried to make Oath Keepers out to be the good guys.
You heard testimony from Rhodes. You heard testimony from a person convicted of seditious conspiracy telling you that he and the Oath Keepers did not engage in seditious conspiracy.
Judge McKenna did not say when he would rule in the case. Representative David Eastman, a Republican from Wasilla, easily won re-election last month, but the certification of his election is on hold while the case is pending. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
It's windy and cold in Juneau with a high of 23 degrees today. Snow in the forecast tomorrow. You're listening to KTOL.